Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Orion Sickler, soccer star, Juco. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast. Five star.
It's a job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast. We can't do that, dude.
Do it.
You can't do that in people's ears.
I almost lost it. I almost went.
He is on prescription medication, and it's another Tuesday.
I went for it,
we got another Crab Feast for that ass. That pitch touch really almost killed you, Jay Larson.
Oh, my God. My head's throbbing now after that. What's up, Feasts? Dude, I'm like, let me just start this one low. Let's see how it goes. And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm running out of breath already. The lower you go, it's tough.
It's tough down there.
Feasters, what's up? Jay Larson Comedy here on the internet. Jay Larson Comedy on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. A couple dates to tell you about. Everyone up in San Francisco I saw. I'd love to see you guys. Thanks for coming out to the show. And coming up in October the 16th, I'll be at the Fizz Bar in Chicago. And October 21st, I'll be at Vendetta Bar in D.C. Tickets are available on my website, so hop on over there and give a look. Fizz Bar Chicago on the 16th, Vendetta Bar in D.C. on the 21st. Tickets are $15. Going to be a great time, so come on out. And more recently, or sooner than that, September 26th, this Friday, Rye.
This Friday.
The L.A. Pod Fest, L.A. Podcast Festival. Our show is this Friday, 7 p.m., September 26th. You can go to our site or our Facebook fan page for information, or you can just go to the
we'll
L.A. Podcast Festival.
Yeah.
Use code CRABFEAST if you want to. You can watch it from anywhere in the world. You can watch, and then you have 3 weeks to watch every other podcast that happened. You can watch them live, all that.
It's a pretty cool thing, actually. For those of you who live local and can make the commute to get here to see the podcast festival and your favorite shows, we will be there live Friday at 7. And for those of you who live elsewhere around the world, you'll be able to I think it's pretty cool. They're giving you basically an online all access pass. I think it's if you use our code CRABFEAST, it's $25, I believe it is.
I think it's $20.
$20.
$5 off. It's $25 without if you use CRABFEAST. Let them know too. Let them know you're coming from the Crab Feast.
Yeah.
You can watch everything live, and then you have 3 weeks that'll be up there that you can watch. And if you haven't been to a live podcast recording or seen one, it's a lot of fun because there's a little bit of that interaction that you don't get when it's just us with the guest. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and I didn't even introduce myself. I'm Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, RyanSickler.com. And all that information for LA Podfest and all that stuff will be on our Facebook fan page. Like Jay said, we'll tweet it. It'll be on thecrabfeast.com. Thank you guys for everything. Merch, Amazon, all that stuff. I'm not even going to get into it. You guys are the fucking best. I will say thank you seriously for the awesome feedback on the premium episode with Will Anderson and Kamal Nanjiani. That shit
I told you
it was a crazy fucking story. Will Anderson, just the eye socket is all I'll say, is an unbelievable story. But thank you for that. Crab Feast brought to you by GoDaddy. Hundreds of new domain names are available. Visit thecrabfeast.com today. Click the GoDaddy banner and save 30% on your order. Newertransfer.com domain names are still available for $1.99. Enter code FEAST at checkout. GoDaddy will honor that offer. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
I mean, I think you forgot one thing, bro.
Well, they know we're on iTunes and Stitcher.
Well, do they know that too? Ask not what your country can zoom for you. Ask what you can zoom for your country. And people might say, that's not a song, Jay. Is it, Rye? What song was it in?
It was in Living Color, Cult of Personality.
You goddamn right it was. The only black rock and roll band to then quote a white guy. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's an anomaly.
You say the only. You know what else? The only we got going on today?
Well, what I was going to say was an anomaly, just like our guest who we have today. Rye's very controlling. I think we all know that by now. Excited to have these guys on. We've wanted to have them on for a long time. We don't often have two guests on at one time.
We never have.
And these guys are it's a two for Tuesday today,
two
baby.
Two for Tuesday.
We're excited to have them. Please welcome for the first time the Craft Feast, the Sklar Brothers, everybody.
Sklar Brothers, welcome to the Craft Feast. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you very much,
Thank
gentlemen.
You. First long-time listeners, first-time callers.
Thank
Glad
you for
to have
being
you on.
Here. Yeah, we're super fired up.
This is great, man. I'm ready to get just all, like, get into a giant mud pit of sports with you guys. Just talk like...
Bro it out.
Let's talk about the... I mean, we could talk about all the great things that are happening in baseball. The Orioles clinching. The Cardinals about to clinch. Boston.
I care.
Guess what I'm sitting on?
I know.
World championship.
World championship pillows. It's like when...
Those aren't pillows!
It's like when, you know, when like the Masters champion has to give the jacket to the next dude. And he's just like...
You've never seen him in a bad mood.
Do his fucking teeth. Way
no,
to
he's
go.
Saying it's a good mood.
I think he doesn't care.
Bullshit.
Like, they phone...
Bullshit. Bubba Watson is like, here you go, asshole.
Well, guess what they're doing? I've always wanted to win a golf tournament just because... Whatever. You're,
Why not?
So you can jerk off into the pocket that's like of the jacket. Why is this?
But two, going into the clubhouse after this and just getting
shut?
Wrecked. That's
no. You go in the clubhouse and then you sit down. You're sweating. You're in the jacket, and then they ask you about like your kid, and then they just start crying. That's what it is.
Totally.
It's like,
can I?
You have a baby.
I just want to remark. Yes, this is the first time we've had four guests on a non-live podcast, and the way both of you are wearing your headphones is the first time I've seen anyone wear their headphones like that on the show, and two times.
When you don't have good hair, when you don't have a lot of hair, you don't want to press that shit down in the middle.
Yeah,
my hair's not a panini for Christ's sake.
It's not a panini. It's a bumper sticker right there.
I can't push that shit down.
My hair isn't a panini.
I think it's because they have a meeting later and they want to look sharp.
You're not going to believe
how freaking sharp we're going to look in this goddamn
Sklar
meeting.
My brother's hair.
So we are so excited to have you here. Will you guys please plug anything and everything you'd like? We'll get into talking.
I think people who listen to your podcast would enjoy our podcast, which is Scarborough Country.
First of all, we got to get you on.
I would love
Chad Larson on, but you will come on and be a guest. Especially
with the Orioles where they're at. We'll talk about now.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Orioles where they're at, Boston where they're at,
Chris Davis where he's at.
Chris Davis.
You got to focus,
exactly
Davis.
Where he's supposed to be.
Right.
Sitting it's on like, the bench. How do you, I mean, any nobody has an excuse of like, I didn't know. Nobody has the excuse of, I didn't know. Wes Welker's like, I didn't know. I love that Wes Welker moves to a state where he can smoke pot legally in Denver, and then he goes and does Molly in Kentucky.
Did you see the picture of him
handing out $100
bills?
Yes.
Who in the hell is smiling ear to ear handing him out at the airport to random strangers? Someone who's on Molly.
That's right. But I was like, who took a look at ecstasy? So Molly is ecstasy cut with amphetamines. Who was looking at ecstasy, took ecstasy, and was like, you know what? We need to bump this shit up.
We've got to speed it up, man. What is this, a funeral?
What are we doing over here?
What do you want to call it?
Molly.
Funeral.
Who's done
Oh, Molly.
Ecstasy?
No, I mean, I was called Molly.
Molly.
Called my assistant. They got the name wrong.
It's terrible. So we've got our podcast, Scarborough Country. I'm back to the plugs. And if you want to see us live, if you're in Canada.
Two dates coming up when this thing drops. One, October 4th and 5th. We're doing a live podcast in Vancouver. I don't know if you guys got fans up there.
Sure do.
Northwest Podcast Fest at the Rickshaw Theater, 6 o'clock. We're gonna do a live Scarborough
on the 4th.
The Rickshaw Theater, huh?
Rickshaw Theater.
Get on in here. Just everyone comes in on
everyone
a rickshaw.
Just comes in on wheels. Yeah. And then what was Swartzen's joke about the rickshaw? What was that joke he was doing as Carson?
Rickshaw Theater.
He came in on a rickshaw.
Dude, where's my rickshaw?
Dude, where's my rickshaw?
I saw the Chinese version of that movie called Dude, Where's My Rickshaw?
Dude, where's my rickshaw?
That is wild. So they're doing that, and then the following week we're in Portland at Helium, which is one of the best comedy clubs in the country.
Yes,
sure.
We'll be there.
You can watch us. You guys, your fans will probably dig us. We do Rome Show every month on Showtime, a little segment on his show called.
All right, guys, when we said plug, we didn't mean the goddamn bio.
If you haven't seen the Sklar Brothers do stand up, you have to go. It's fantastic.
It is.
And look, I still tell this was years ago, and I don't mean to bring up an old bit. I don't know, you might have just done it that night.
Mm-hmm.
But it has stuck with me and gives me the giggles. It was a whole Karate Kid bit.
Oh, yeah, it's like
about the karate traffic. The two words karate traffic back
to
back.
Well, we were telling this to
I don't know how if you still do it.
It was years ago.
The concept of the bit was that we were watching The Karate Kid, and there was this moment where he's making up with Elizabeth Shue, in the arcade. You know, they've had their differences, and now she's holding him, and he's much smaller than her. It's kind of great.
She's really holding him.
He's like in a red windbreaker that's like a boy's extra small. All right, so she's holding him, and he says to her,
"So I guess you heard about the big karate tournament this weekend."
And she says, "Who hasn't?"
And that for us was everything, because like
who in Southern California hasn't heard of this obscure high school karate tournament?
I'm guessing the parents of the kids in that tournament have not heard about that tournament, really. So we got into this whole thing about like if I go out on a Saturday and the 405 is bumper to bumper, my first thought is what bizarre junior high school jujitsu competition is happening down in Long Beach to cause this much of a
obscure high school karate traffic is worse than every traffic. And then we did a joke. There was a joke that we used to do that never got a laugh, but we kept doing it.
Obscure high school karate traffic is so bad that Brandy can't even kill someone on the highway. She can't ramp up to get the speed.
Moesha!
She killed somebody. That woman killed somebody.
That never got a laugh.
Murder was the case that they gave her.
Now, let me ask you guys a question, because you do stand up together.
Yes.
How often do you guys fight?
Oh, we fight.
We fight.
Sure. There's one time we fought, and famously, in after a set.
Famously just to us, but we...
Famously like the karate tournament.
Yeah.
Like
you heard about
the
fight.
The Sklar Brother fight traffic.
Who has it, man?
Sklar Brother is fight traffic, man.
Fight traffic.
Sklar Brother is fight traffic.
Karate traffic.
So bad. The other thing I want to talk about the Karate Kid, and we never really laid this down on anything, but to us is just now that we have kids,
and then we'll get to the fight.
I'm trying to think about this, and then we'll get to the fight. Is like there's a moment when the Karate Kid is over at Miyagi's house that if a cop were to walk into the house at that moment, even if Miyagi tells the truth about everything, every single thing that he would say would dig like the biggest hole ever.
Pedophilic hole.
So you're like, what's going on here? You've got a high school kid here, and he's like, "Yeah, it's just drinking sake with a high school kid." So you're drunk with a high school kid at your house.
No, he was just washing my cars for me.
Are you paying him anything?
No.
I got an Asian guy over here making this white kid paint fences. I'm gonna need some backup.
He was wearing ridiculously short shorts. No, I just took him out on boat, put on chest protection,
and let him punch me in the stomach.
Everything you say, I gift him silk robe. You give him a silk robe. Everything you're saying is digging a deeper hole.
He gave him a car at the end. I mean, what must Christ. He have had to give up?
A good person to ask about that would be Pat Morita, who just happened
Pat
to come.
Marita?
Pat Morita!
Get your dead ass out here! He's dead.
Who's
he died.
Dead?
Pat Morita. Mr. Miyagi passed.
So
the fight.
So this is, we were in New York. That's where we came up in comedy in the late 90s, and we were on that sort of circuit of doing sets like you do one at the comic strip, then you go across town to stand up in New York, then you go down to
Gotham, then you come up and start hitting the late shows, you go back up to the comic strip, then back. So you do a loop of everything.
How many years into comedy were you at this point?
We were about 4 or 5 years into comedy.
Awesome. It's like 98, 99.
So and it's funny because like in New York, you were sort of just doing feature sets. Everyone was doing 20 minutes, but it'd be like Mitch Hedberg, then you, then Todd Barry, then like Louis C.K. all in one show, you, and then in another club, you and Attell. And so fascinating. So cool. But, you know, we were just starting out. And so we were getting angry at each other. Things didn't work out. And
the comic strip have a shitty set. Like half the room is not laughing, and it's like on the same on his side of the room. I'm like, handle your business. Handle your business.
I can't control these people just because they're geographically on my side of the room.
Handle your business.
So wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you always stand on the same side?
No, we switched it up.
Okay,
I don't know. It's like it is kind of.
But that night, you're saying
that night I was on the left, and the left side didn't really.
Well, and my question is, was your rhythm like? Because your rhythm's pretty fucking epic on stage. Back then, were you like stepping on each other and all?
No, I actually feel like
we were more rehearsed back then.
I go back and look at it, and I feel like it was more of a performance and less of a connection.
Yeah.
Now I feel like what we try to do, even though there is a little bit of that still exists, we try and connect with what we're saying and what we're doing with the audience. It was like almost, I think we was listening to some interview, like we were doing some college in near Baltimore. We'd rented a car and we're driving to go to the college, and I'm listening. It was like the week that the Sopranos were the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So they had guy who played Johnny Sachs, great actor. I mean, this guy is amazing. And, you know, I was like, this guy's one of the best actors ever. I'm listening to him, and the radio announcer was like, the DJ's like, "Hey man, how do you prepare for the role. I mean, it seems like you really get into it and the acting and all that stuff. And like, how do you treat it? And I thought he was going to go into some like huge thing. My technique is this, and I really, it changes every time, and it's like this organic thing. He just said, I don't give a shit what the other person is saying. I just do it the exact same way every time. There could not be another person there. I could just be – I was like, what? That's like the antithesis of acting. Like, how are you so good?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, really, you don't care what
like,
the person is
like, blah, 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 my line, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. So we were sort of, I feel like, that way at the beginning.
We were kind of that way at the beginning, but now I feel like it's much more, okay, anything can happen. Listen to what he's saying. Let's get into it. We try and build bits where – we don't know where it's going to go in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's fun.
So let's fucking build it.
But so we had a really, really bad set, and then we had to take a cab across town to do another set, and we just started fighting about, like verbally fighting about, we're in our late 20s, mid to late 20s.
And then we started like hitting each other.
Fight, like in the physically cab? Fighting hitting in the cab. Yeah. So much so that this guy, this cab driver, this foreign cab driver who I'm assuming like.
You're on cash cab.
Yeah, like, how great would that have been? No, this is a guy who like, you know, needed to get so many like cab fares.
To get his medallion.
Earn the medallion and then bring the rest of the family over to America. So he pulls over and goes, get out of my cab. He's like, I will not take you anywhere. The guy who needs so much money, just money
like,
to live.
It's kind of like the Radisson and Adrian Peterson. Like the Radisson's like, you know, like the Radisson needs to sponsor. Like they need advertising. More. Yeah, have you ever seen a Radisson ad on TV?
No.
That, because they're on the press conference right behind the Vikings. When they pull their advertising off, you know it's a big deal.
That's yeah.
So
big
essentially
deal.
We got Radisson in the back
we
of the cab.
Radisson out of the cab. And,
I wish that you'd pulled up to like the strip and like the fight poured out of the cab. You know what I mean?
So all these comics standing on the street, like, what the?
That
Lucian
awesome.
Lucian Holm, may he rest in may peace. Rest was in the peace, old? He was the old.
Our parents taught us. They were like, don't fight in front of other people. Like, just don't do it. They were like, just there are enough people that actually want to see you go down, but like, don't. Be the
so what
thing.
That does is good that it builds up the anger and hatred so you fight way more intensely.
Just in front of one Turkish cab driver. That's all. That's pretty Turkish. Private.
Yeah, it was private. It was pretty great. That was the last time.
Is that the first time you ever fist fought? Would you fist fight like growing up?
Oh, we used to
that's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, we would fist fight growing up, but it was quick and then it would resolve itself quickly. Like you couldn't hold the grudge. That was sort of the unwritten rule.
Have you ever struck each other where you were like, whoa, I think I might have crossed the line there?
No.
Or have you ever hit each other and then immediately said, I'm sorry?
No, like we would just kind of hit. I would hit and then back off and let the other guy hit. It was more like just let it get out.
Yeah, it was sort of like it was like one of those like therapy sessions where you beat the shit out of a pillow.
Yeah, yeah.
He was my pillow.
First of all, do you know Rise of Twin?
No.
Yeah. I'm a fraternal twin.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Fraternal twin
to a man now.
Yeah,
he's a
right
twin
now.
To another.
Right.
And what's he? What does he do?
He is the manager and
of a Chili's.
Exec of a Chili's. No, of an auto recycling yard in Delaware. So basically, a mega. You ever see those trucks that go down the freeway with all the smashed cars?
Yes.
Right.
He does all. Types of auto recycling. Like I called him the other day, and he's like, "I'm like, what are you doing?" He's grunting. It's loud. He's like, "I'm cutting up an Amtrak train." I was like, "What?" And he is cutting up an Amtrak old cars to recycle and send out.
That's jeez, awesome.
Where yeah. do you? What do you make an Amtrak train into? You use the parts.
Gillette razors.
Are you serious?
Dude, they melt all that stuff down, recycle all that stuff, and great. We end up buying it for.
So what he's doing is perhaps one of the most like manly. I'm sure every single one of those people who works for his place is like, Adrian Peterson was right. Yeah, you got to beat the shit out of your kids. But like, but yet he's
they're
doing,
using car
yet
antennas.
He's doing the, yet what he's doing is like the most globally, you know, ecologically smart,
responsible
thing ever, which is kind of why.
But he's not doing it for, they're doing it for the money.
Yeah, they do it for the money.
So
whatever
what,
you can take and it's crazy the way that it's so primitive. Actually, they have just this a furnace that they throw all the old metal, aluminum, whatever it is in, and it just liquefies
evidence
into
bodies. How do these gloves get in here?
It's lava. It comes out as look. It looks like lava. And
I mean, that to me would be the worst thing to know that you have that. Because then, like, you could do some bad shit.
Yeah,
just
you
toss
could.
It in
but
the
you also
furnace.
Could do some dumb shit. How many times have you ever tripped in your life? He told me a guy had tripped and his foot went in. And, I mean,
oh,
gone.
God.
Like that, to the
Jesus.
Bone. Gone. It is lava. And it just – and there's no barrier around it. It just pours into this mold. and then it'll harden. They pull it out of the way, let it cool, and then they just ship them, stack them, and ship them.
And building a barrier or putting up a little fence wouldn't be that difficult to do. But I love that there's still no barrier. No
Even
no
dig a gully around the thing might help. You know,
maybe make electric fence. I would settle for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Wire. Put the low jack on all your employees.
That is the perfect thing, an electric fence.
Have you guys ever been down? Have you guys ever been to at the Louisville Improv when it was around? Did you ever perform there?
No. That like came. I'm going to Louisville soon, though.
Are you? Okay. So here's what I want you to do.
First, you have to go to Louisville Slugger Museum.
You have to go to Louisville Slugger Museum. Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
There's also like a wig. There's also a wig district in Louisville. There's like a street, a street with like seven wig stores in a row. I've never seen one wig store in a city, let alone like four competing for your business on the same block.
Yeah, the wig district.
I'm going down to the wig district.
Going down to the wig district. Going down,
man. I want to wear my headphones on my head. I'm going to the wig district.
You know, I wanted to be a blonde.
Always the wig district.
We always wanted to like have like Brett Michaels open a bandana kiosk
called
of a wig store
called Bandana Republic.
Called the Bandana Republic. Just all he sells, and like tight.
But his is a store in front of a store.
Hides the fact that the wigs can't do full coverage. How great! How much of a moneymaker would that be in the wig district, Louisville?
Oh my god!
You got to go to the Louisville Slugger Museum because it is so kick-ass. But it kind of what you told me about, like the fact that there's no barrier. You walk along and watch the bats get made, and like you're just walking along a line. Again, there's no like glass.
So a splinter could shoot out.
Yeah, you could just go put your hand in a machine.
Or just stick your hand under the tar, the pine tar that's going on. I mean, they don't want you to. They don't want you to do that, but like you could. Like there's nothing stopping you from fucking up like if you want to go in and just completely mess up like Alfonso Soriano's bats. You could like go in and just put your fingerprints all over.
Fingernail. It's my fingernail.
Cork them all. But I mean, it is kind of cool. But it's, again, one of these like great factories. And you can like you can actually take bats of players you like down in the
batting cage.
Real?
So like he hit with like Jeter's bat for a little while.
He hit with Jeter's bat, and then I gave a woman a fruit basket.
Isn't that amazing?
Nice.
That's really nice.
Gift basket.
That's how Hershey Park used to be back in the day. When I was a kid, you'd go through the chocolate museum. Portion of it, and it had nothing, and you would see people spitting and throwing change and shit in it. And then I remember, we never did. Just watch people. And then when the next year we went back, plexiglass.
Yeah, exactly. They figured it out.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Because like everything, like the internet has taught us, like everything, if you just give it to people, they'll fuck it up.
They'll ruin it.
They'll ruin it. Like take something nice, they'll ruin it.
Wait, what does your brother think of what you do? Is he proud or is he psyched? He obviously has seen you perform.
Yeah, he's come. Anytime I go to Baltimore, he'll come out and he laughs. He loves hearing the stories. But he's just so like even. He's just so even keel about everything. I'll tell him great news, or I'll even talk. I'll be like, "Did you see the game last night? Mm-hmm. Yeah, look good." That's it. Like he's just
like seeing a guy lose a foot in a furnace. it's like you get emotional.
Looks like it hurt. That's all he'll say. Some shit like that.
What was that to the bone?
Anytime Bad to the Bone comes on at work, though, he's probably laughing. Tell these guys about Sup Pac-Man.
I think
these guys would love that.
So obviously Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles and Adam Jones of the currently Cincinnati Bengals are not the same Adam Jones.
Right, correct. Of course. Always
so
that.
Tom Segura and I went to an Oriole game a few years ago with the GM of the Improvs, Dan Godfrey. You guys probably know Dan. Mm-hmm. He's a big Oriole fan. He and I are like two of the few that I knew, especially when I first got here, rooting during the basement decade and a half.
Pre-Buck Showalter.
Yes.
Pre-attitude change.
So Tom and I, now he's got us in these, like, whoever favors gave him these ridiculous seats. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. So he wants us to behave our best.
This is the Angels, right?
This is out in Anaheim, yeah. So we do a little pre-tailgate. We smoke a little weed and we have a few beers and we head into the game with Dan. And we get in these really nice seats and... You know, it's ushers coming. The seats are a walkway behind the row of seats right behind home plate. Mm-hmm. And it's the only stadium I've ever been in where you can actually buy a tabletop of season tickets. So a four top seated.
Oh, it's like the Hollywood Bowl. Like if you go to the Hollywood Bowl and then it opens up and then the four of you can just eat. It's like bringing wine.
But those are your season. Those are your four seats for the year, that table. You can buy that for the year.
Phenomenal.
So foul ball heaven. We're having a good time. And Tom and I, it's free beer. And I don't drink beer. I'm not a huge drinker. I drink, but I don't usually partake. I'm not driving. The two of us decide we're going to have a good time. So we start getting drunk.
Mm-hmm. And you're high already.
And we're high. And we start just laughing to each other how funny it is that people think that that Adam Jones out there in center field is the Adam Jones for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. So we just start randomly screaming, "What's up, Pac-Man?" And Dan's like, "What time are you guys doing?" And it was one of those things that made us laugh.
Of course.
And we couldn't stop doing it. And it got louder and louder. And people were turning around and staring at us. And every time we did, there would be an old man that had an Angels banner, and he would just shake it. So then it became, well, let's also make this guy shake that fucking banner or a towel or whatever. And we were just like, "Sup, Pac-Man?" And Dan's like, guys, come on, man. I mean, Roy Firestone's sitting right over there. Jesus Christ.
Making people cry.
Yeah, making That's people crazy. Cry. Who's also an Oriole fan. So now it's been like 4 or 5 seasons since, and Dan has fully embraced it to the point where this year we go, I was like, "I'm going to take a leak." I go, and Adam Jones comes out on deck, and we're as close as I am
so
to you.
So close.
He is buzzed. He's got his iPhone. He does a selfie video, and he just of him just going, "Sup, Pac-Man?" screaming at him while I'm not even there, dude. Oh, God.
Did Adam Jones turn around?
He has turned around, and he's but he also said that he's like everywhere he goes, though.
People think
everywhere.
That he
is. Said that my favorite story was he said he was in Detroit and the groundskeeper was giddy, like excited. He's like, "What's up, Pac-Man?" Whispered it to him like it was really him. he's like, "Did you say that?" He's like, "I didn't want to hurt his feelings." But it's on Twitter
ago,
now.
Oh, yeah. Some of our fans went to a Tampa Bay game against the Orioles and he had a huge sign made and said, "Sup, Pac-Man?"
And he turned around.
Fuck the Kraft Feast 5 stars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He saw it in center field and he's just like, he doesn't, he's like, whatever.
You guys
got to
get Pac-Man on the Kraft Feast. I love the ground.
It's like we're bashing our, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we're hazing our guy.
Our own guy.
Our guy who I love
who
him.
Who doesn't
though.
Deserve it. Yeah.
He's
doesn't.
Fantastic.
He's so good and he's so good for that team. I mean,
so
this Saturday, actually, when so this drops, we will have already done it. Okay. So we can't even speak about it. We'll speak about it in the present tense or future tense now, but it'll be in the past when this thing drops. But we are throwing out the first pitch of the Cardinals game.
Are you really? Congrats,
this Saturday,
man.
This Saturday. St. Louis. Thank you. Very excited. But the last time we were in St. Louis.
Oh, can I ask you, have you done that before?
Yes. We did it in Cleveland at the Prague. And there are some people there who are fans of ours, and they're like, "Will you guys do it?" So fun. I mean,
So we go out and do it. And Randy pitched first. He threw sidearm, and he threw about 75 miles an hour.
75? I jumped up.
That's
I literally
solid.
Threw it, and then I couldn't lift my arm for like a week.
Yeah.
So then I threw a curveball, threw a strike. But when I went up, I was like, "I got to do something funny."
From the rubber?
All the way up on the mountain. So I went from the rubber. I went from the stretch.
This ain't no Monet Davis shit. All right. From the rubber, bitch.
So I faked to third, turned and faked to first.
He did it too, yeah.
Which at that time wasn't a balk yet. This guy, there's a video of it online. You could look if you just look
from the box, so you know, like where the Orioles, like where their press box is,
mm-hmm. up there in the box next to them. This guy yells, "Come on!" He's like pissed.
Throw the ball!
Like he's angry. I'm like, "It's Cleveland. It's September. You're out of the race. It's before the game. Yeah, what are you at? Where do you have to go, asshole? What
like
are you?"
An extra 30 seconds to do that, and this guy's upset about.
So I come back up to the booth, and he boos me after I throw a strike, and it's all on this video. You can if you go on YouTube and type in Sklar's throw out first pitch at Cleveland,
you can see this,
and you can hear him. You can hear because the video is taken from right next to him. You can hear the guy heckle me. So I come to the booth, and the guys who are with MLB are like, "You know, that guy was – there was a guy next door who was heckling you while you were throwing." And I was like, "Which guy?" And it's like an old guy. So I'm like, "You know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go over and I'm going to call this guy out." And I was like, Hey, I heard you were heckling me down there on the field." He's like, throw the ball." And I was like, "Yeah." It took an extra 5 seconds. He's like, "You were out there for like 10 minutes. I'm like, "Ask anyone around here." And then I started going off on this guy, and it became this whole.
It's Vin Scully. As Vin Scully.
Yeah. That man was Bob Uecker. No, but it was a great moment where I confront.
Is all that your argument on there too?
No, my argument isn't on there. But
you know why?
Why?
Your parents told you not to fucking fight in public.
But you know what it was? What was great about it and why I sort of didn't stop? It's because it's like when you get the Twitter hate from some anonymous avatar that you don't know. Someone who just wants to lob some mean bullshit at you. Mm-hmm. And then there's no consequences for that. This guy thought he could yell a heckle. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of great. It felt awesome.
I have a great like groundskeeper story that's so
groundskeepers.
Okay, so
do the arch thing. That's another story. That's
the arch thing was great when we were kids. We were up in the arch,
St. Louis
arch, top of the.
I've been in it.
So you go up there.
And you can look down the windows down below.
Scared the shit out of me.
Scary because
it was like you're in the zipper at the carnival, one of those little cages, and you're just going up inside. And you're like, oh my
god, it's crazy. You get up to the top, and then you can actually lean out. And you're looking down.
You can look down beneath.
Out?
Well, the windows kind of edge outward, so you can look down underneath where you are, straight down to the ground, and there's nothing below.
By the way, my kids have been up there, and like they're fearless. They're both kind of like climbing up on the thing, looking. I'm like, dude, you guys are ridiculous. You're scaring the shit out of me. So we were looking down when we were kids, and it was snow on the ground. We went up, and it was snowing, and someone started to walk off. We were with our buddy Josh Scher, who has since become a like
crazy
ultra religious Orthodox Jew, moved to Israel, has six kids, like totally sponging off like the
it's a freak.
All right, whatever. So I have mixed feelings about that, but
oh, they sound mixed. Sponging
we
off,
love the
there's
guy.
No, real mix.
There's,
we love the guy. By the way, I love the guy, but I was just like, come on, man. But he was a hilarious guy when we were younger, and so we're in like eighth grade. Just so up in the arch, and we see someone walking off. Jesus is number one, like down in the snow, which, you know, I mean, you're going to get that. It's snowy.
Yeah,
it's like
good.
A perfect thing. Great thing. We're like, we got to fuck with this somehow, some way. We got to do this some way, figure it out. So we go down, and this is at the time. Was he on the Cardinals at the time?
I think he was on the Phillies at the time.
We just walk off.
We didn't mess with Jesus.
Didn't
mess
with Jesus number one. We just walked off on top of it. Yvonne Day is number 11.
So then it just said,
people up in the audience.
Yvonne
Day
Jesus.
Looking down going, Yvonne Day Jesus is number 11. Yeah, that's a fact. I don't really know what that means.
I don't understand.
We just confused everyone else who went up in the arch later that day. All right, so 2006, Cardinals are in the World Series, and we're MLB, This Week in Baseball. We're going back home because our dad, when he was still alive at the time, St. Louis fan all his life, had never been to a World Series game.
And they've been to a lot.
They've been to a lot. In his lifetime, 64, 67, 48. 68, 48, I think. 64, 67, 68, 82,
82,
85,
86. Tommy Herr, what?
Jesus. Tommy Herr.
9 home runs, 110 RBIs. You'll never see that shit again. So, or 8 home runs even.
Sorry,
whatever it was. It was under 10. So, so dad had never been to a game. We're like, we got to get him to a game. He couldn't walk. He had diabetes, lost a couple toes, and was just like, but we're like, we're getting him to the game. We're getting him to the game. So, we got This Week in Baseball to get us tickets for when Carpenter threw the shutout against and
from Zemaya. New Hampshire.
Yeah, from New Hampshire. You got to love it.
And Zemaya threw the ball into the left field.
We beat Detroit in that game anyway. So we got our dad. He was able to go to the game. But beforehand, we shot some stuff with this is so great. We shot some stuff with This Week in Baseball down near the field. So we go down on the field, and all of a sudden, there's like a tall dude in like a jean jacket and a ponytail, deep voice, sound like he just smoked like 78 cigarettes like that morning comes over to us as we're shooting this right after we shoot this stuff, and he's like,
hey y'all,
hey man, I'm a huge fan of Cheap Seats. I love that
you guys
show.
you guys
are great in front of our parents. So and we were like,
our parents walk away, and we say to our,
he walks away, and we say to our parents, look at this, okay, this is what's great about this whole thing. Do you see that right there? This guy, like our show, and we're so proud of the fact that we did Cheap Seats. Our show reached out to everybody. It doesn't matter who it is.
This groundskeeper here
loved our show.
And loved what we do. Like, that's the whole point of what we do, is that it can reach people who
kids are watching in
comedy nerds
and karate traffic.
Comedy
man.
Nerds.
Karate traffic.
From comedy nerds to just regular people, like a guy who's the groundskeeper at Busch Stadium. How great is that? So then, like, they start running through kind of national anthem and all that stuff that's going to be happening in the game. They run through and put the microphone out and put it up. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome multi-Grammy Award winner Trace Atkins to sing the national anthem.
That's who the guy was.
So the guy who I thought was the groundskeeper was Trace. He's like, oh, see. I was like, holy shit.
Shit.
Holy shit.
The moral of that story is we don't know country music. Like, I got to know. I got to get better on country music. I thought
but
Trace
now
Atkins
that I know it was Trace Atkins, that's a hell of a Trace Atkins impression.
That was pretty good,
yeah,
right?
It was really good.
Pulled a little Trace.
I almost was like, Trace Atkins? Groundkeeper?
Trace Atkins.
It was great, awesome, man, but it was such a total, like, it was such a moment. We were so proud and then just fucked it up.
I love that you should even be more proud because that guy's huge. But at the same time, you know, he probably, what he says, like, he's probably sitting around the house right now with a friend and you guys come on, it's like, fucking Sklar, bro.
No.
I told him how much I love that guy.
They treated me like I was.
What if he went up to someone else and he was like,
what if he also was? Yeah, what if he's running the tarp out in cowboy boots?
What if he goes
a line out there?
What if he goes to a friend and he's like, yo, I just met the Wayans brothers. Pretty good guys.
Pretty good guys.
I love them Wayans brothers.
That would be amazing.
That would be crazy.
Hilarious.
Okay, so I'm wondering if there's going to be, I mean, we've been throwing so much. We threw yesterday in 105 degree heat, and I was like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so funny because when we were kids, I mean, this is a crazy story.
We used to throw the ball in our front yard. Like, this was like, man, this was why it was lucky to have a twin. I don't know if you felt this, where we were kind of at a similar level in sports.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah. We got an older brother and two older sisters.
How much older is the brother?
14 months.
Okay,
so you guys are almost like twins. Did you play, throw the ball around and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I was way more into sports, but we both played sports and stuff like that. I'd call Tommy Heller across the street. He'd come over. And
all right,
yeah.
So, but we had this built-in guy. You always had a guy who you were like, I'm about the same level.
Play tennis with,
you throw the
baseball
with, over and over again. So we did that in the front yard. It was Thanksgiving.
We're throwing. And so, like, there's lots of people around. And all of a sudden, and like, if you throw it and you make a bad throw and the other person doesn't make the scoop and it goes away, like, there's just ridiculous cursing coming back at you. Like, that's how
you
we
get
fight
so much shit.
Like, way to go. You fucking suck, you loser.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is, back and forth. Like, way to go. It's just intense hate that
work
comes
that backhand.
Yeah, that's right.
But you never stop playing. It's
no,
not like you walk away from the
no,
verbal
there's no
abuse
walking away
because you're, like,
you're stuck. You're like,
part of the game.
You hum it back as hard as you can.
You hum it back as hard as you can, right?
Fucking hum it back in his head. So we're throwing it back and forth, and did I throw it?
I threw it.
You threw it, and
you couldn't dig it out.
Nah, I couldn't dig it out. It was an undiggable ball. I couldn't dig it out. That shit was undiggable.
All right.
Nobody could have dug that
out. It was a wild pitch pass ball.
JT Snow could have dug that
out. All right, so it goes down, and it bounces up, and it hits the front headlight of a car in the driveway. Shatters.
Parked in the Zeckerts next door.
Next door neighbors.
Dr. Zeckert, Horst Zeckert, German, was alive during the Holocaust.
Was it a Mercedes?
No, but he was.
I was wondering how German it was.
He was
super nice.
And the nicer he was, I'm like,
he definitely committed.
You killed some
Jews.
That's like, you killed some motherfucking Jews.
By the way, he's such a nice guy, and he probably didn't. But like,
he probably didn't. That's
you're like, you're like, he's like the Dark Angel, or he has like a name that we don't know.
I have mixed feelings about him. So
I'm sure
he probably has another surname that we don't never heard.
The Hatchet or whatever. So he's the nicest guy in the world. But
doctor and then German. Just
so we
not a good
throw it in the thing. It bounces off the thing. Break shatters it.
But in the shape of a baseball, like, literally there's no mistaking what just happened.
Bounces back sort of off of it. We grab the ball, we run in the house, and we basically go down into our basement, which we're built on a hill, so like the basement window can kind of see
basement.
You can
see ground
the
level.
Driveway
yeah, could you like bit. Your eye could zoom
you can
right
see
in
the
on that.
Driveway but so we hid down the base. So basically
on Thanksgiving
it's Jews hiding down in the basement from
German
Dr. Zeckert
from the Germans. Unbelievable.
And we're like the cops
the
come.
Cops show up
the we, cops?
The cops show up.
And we could have said,
it's our fault, but we were like afraid of what our parents would say and we'd have to pay for it and this whole thing. And it was like
we literally
waited it out
and we didn't talk to them.
My parents were like, what are you doing downstairs? Right? We're just hanging out downstairs.
It's Christmas.
It's Thanksgiving. Man. And literally we didn't come out of the house for like the next 3 days until we went back to college.
Yeah.
And you never fessed up?
Freshman in college.
Yeah, we were 18. Never fessed up.
Never fessed up.
Until right now.
Now. If he's listening,
is this really the first admission of that?
I mean,
I think we admitted it a while ago, but this is really the first public admission.
First super public admission. Yeah.
I love it. I thought you were going to say, first of all, I just want to suggest, I know you guys got to get going, but maybe you don't do the first pitch, and what you do is...
throw it at the Zeckert's car.
No. I want, maybe Randy goes out in the center, and you play the shortstop, and you do a relay to home.
Ugh.
Do the relay to home.
A relay to home might be unreal.
How about turning a double play?
I mean, turning a double play would be great. Part of me wanted to bring my baby girl, who's 9 months. I know you have a 7 month old, and put her in the Bjorn and just go off the rubber and try to throw with her on my chest.
Like, take the ball to the baby's chest.
Yep.
Look left, look right.
Have her spit on it.
Have her spit on it. Work it. Take a little Vaseline from her hat. But no, my other thing was that I wanted to wind up and then throw it as high as humanly possible. Just throw a gigantic
pitch?
Like a huge ephus.
Did you call it ephus?
Ephus. I was going to do an ephus.
The only thing I love about the Omeka Okafor pitch. Yeah.
Is
somebody struck out McGuire on the ephus at Fenway one time. I can't remember who it was. I mean, it sounds like some oil can Boyd would have tried to do.
Yeah, definitely.
It was like a little 45 mile an hour, like, boop. And McGuire was
How much trouble has oil can Boyd been in with the police, right? He's like,
I mean, a lot.
A lot. He's just like.
I hated cocaine.
Gosh.
I hated
it. Yeah. So much cocaine. So much cocaine.
That's not the greatest name maybe in the history of sports.
Oil can Boyd.
Oil can Boyd. Great one.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Because people don't even use oil cans anymore. And yet it's like we kind of all knew what it was.
Yeah,
I know the guy. That's phenomenal. That dude was amazing.
I mean, he wasn't Bruce Hurst, but listen, I don't want to go on about
it. He wasn't even Bruce Sutter, if you think about it.
But literally took the fork ball and made it, like, he created a pitch.
Like, Bruce Sutter was the precursor to the split finger fastball, which we can all argue is probably the most definitive pitch in the 90s.
The split finger pitch was the reason. I mean, Maddux had a lot of movement, and I've just been, just because Kershaw's having the fucking best year ever
Kershaw now. I mean, dude, he's got a sub-2 ERA the last 2 years in a row.
He's got a sub-2 ERA the last 2 years in a row.
He's going to win 20 games.
He's going to win 20 games this year. He could drop it as low into the 1.6. And I started to go back, and I don't know if you guys are nerdy like this.
Yeah, but Maddux.
I started to go back and look. Maddux, the 19-2 year that he had in 95.
He did back-to-back sub-2.
He had sub-2, but he had like a 16-6 year, which was a strike-shortened, 16-6 year, and it was 1.5-something. Dwight Gooden had like his 24-4 year in 1985. That
cocaine
was like the sickest.
Yep. Yeah, he hated
Brady
cocaine.
Ford. He hated cocaine. So like, but his year was great. But I just go back and I look at those. Clemens had a great year when he was 24-5.
Kershaw, do you have two Cy Youngs already, Kershaw?
Kershaw has two. Three. I think he has three.
No, three?
Got, he's
two.
Only got two.
He's going to win the third this year.
And he's going to have over 100 games at 25 years old.
Yeah, it's
and three Cy Youngs
Clemens
at 25.
Clemens had a sub-2 in Houston. At 43 years old.
13-6, though, which was like a weird.
Won the
Cy Young, 13-6, and he had a sub-2. Yeah, he was juicing ridiculously.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's you
still
know,
nasty.
Still
nasty.
It's still nasty, but
Roger
it's like.
Roger Clemens. Do you remember that song, Amadeus?
Yeah.
In Boston, there was Roger Clemens, Roger Clemens. And they would be like, in 1985, he struck out 20 batters. Roger Clemens, Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens. I remember driving into Boston in my mom's car being like, Roger Clemens, Roger Clemens.
See, for us, it was like they did Glenn Frey's The Heat Is On. And they would just sub in all these Cardinal highlights as it was going. The heat is on. The Cards, they're the hottest. The heat is on. Kind of like Orioles Magic. Remember
Orioles? I know Orioles Magic very well. I still drive around and listen to it.
Huge Orioles fan. Mitch Scher, who's just a great producer. He worked for years at MLB and just a funny dude and a great guy. He put Orioles Magic on a mix that he like sent us. I'm like,
phenomenal.
Well, listen, we know you guys. We're sorry to cut this short. We know you guys got to get going. It's been a pleasure. We're going to do it again.
Let's do this again. This is part one.
We'll do a part two. Can you, before you get going, just one more time with the Twitter, dates, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, that's a good. Twitter's podcast. A great way to kind of know kind of what we definitely let people know where we're going to be and what we're doing. So at Sklar Brothers, Sklarbrothers. Follow us on Twitter, podcast, Sklarbro Country, Sklarbro County. Start with the one that you're on.
Yeah, check
we'll
them both out.
We'll have Sickler on, sickle cell anemia.
Yes, that'll
bring his ass on. and listen again, we've had some good folks on the podcast, so check those out.
I mean, you guys are great, and if you can see them live, it's definitely a treat.
Oh, yeah, Northwest Podcast Fest, and
it is really
unlike any other stand-up show.
It is,
So
I mean, it's not as good, but listen,
yeah, no, it's good.
It's unlike anything.
We focus on
definitely.
How different it is, not how good
guys,
it is.
Guys, let's focus on how it's not like anything you've ever seen before.
No, but come to Portland, see us second weekend in October. We'd love to see you there,
and tell them to fuck the Crab Feast. Guys, thanks so much. As always, Jay Larson Comedy, jlarsoncomedy.com.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter and Instagram, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.